Blessing to worship the Lord. Well, as one of Africa's first explorers, David Livingstone loved and its people and longed to see them evangelized. His journals reveal his spiritual concern and deep faith. In late March of 1872, he wrote, and I want to quote from his journal, "He will keep his word, the gracious one, full of grace and truth. No doubt of it," he said. "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, I will give it. He will keep his word. Then I can come and humbly present my petition, and it will be all right. Doubt is here inadmissible. Surely." You see, as a believer in Jesus Christ, David Livingstone had a rock-like confidence in the promises of God the Father. In our praying, we too can exercise the trust, the confidence that God will not deny our request when they are in keeping, listen, with his will. And by the way, are we reading the Word of God to know his will for our lives? Well, Livingstone's life is a fresh example for believers today that we too can come humbly but confidently with our request to our gracious Heavenly Father, who delights to give only good gifts to his children. So this brings me to the heart of the message God has given me today to deliver to you from his word at this special hour in your life and my life. So please, I want you to listen carefully to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth and grace, is willing and waiting to plant the seed of God's precious and powerful truth in order to change believers, born-again believers, more and more into the blessed image of Jesus Christ, who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, just like we sang, the first and the last. And to convict unbelievers of their sin of unbelief in order to bring them to a point of personal repentance and personal faith in Jesus Christ, who is the seeker and savior of sinners. So here is my message in a nutshell, and I want to please pay attention to it with an open heart and an open mind, because it's going to be a blessing to you if you can receive it tonight. It will bless you
today and the rest of your life.
Well, God, listen, wants his beloved children to approach him with confident assurance that he will willingly and generously give them what is best for them according to his will. In other words, God's desire is to bless believers with his best, as it is fitting for, as it's fitting in his plan for their lives. So folks, this is a message of encouragement, because it's telling me and it's telling you that God is willing to give you the best and it is fitting for his plan for your life. So folks, friends, faithful followers of Christ among us here today, and fellow believers in the fold and flock, family, and fellowship of God, the Bible is going to clearly and convincingly show us that the Heavenly Father, that we all call Heaven, our Heavenly Father, we sang of the three in one, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, that he is willing, he's a willing and generous giver, not a reluctant or stingy giver. He's a giver who is always desiring to give you his very best. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, who come to him humbly and honestly with the needs in your lives, trusting that God will answer his way, which is best for you and best for me, not in your way. So please, if you have your Bibles, turn them to the first gospel, that is the gospel of Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 11. We find this gospel, our gospel story, which is masterfully and marvelously told by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. There we will read these words. The Bible says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or, what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? This is the word of God to the people of God. May the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his holy word. Now please allow me to set the stage for our message. Understand that the gospel story that we just recited is part of the Sermon on the Mount, which is the greatest sermon ever preached here on planet Earth. Remember, in that great sermon, the Lord Jesus lays high and holy standards for righteousness, sincerity, humility, purity. He says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God, and love. He set all these standards for his true followers to pursue in their walk with God. And the question is, how would they pursue such high and holy standards in their walk with God? Well, if we think, that is true believers of Jesus Christ, that we can live out the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount by our own feeble strength, we have miserably failed to realize the supernatural character of the life to which the Savior calls us. You see, the wisdom or power for such high and holy living must be given to us from above. It must come from above to you and to me. This is exactly why the Lord Jesus takes it upon himself to assure believers that the wisdom or power
required to live a life, the life that he's calling us to, will be ours if we seek it through prayer. And that is why he taught this lesson. So please allow me to present to you the spiritual lessons presented in our gospel story in a fresh and an easy to understand way today. First of all, notice that the Lord Jesus begins his teaching in this passage by laying down commands to believers to approach God with their needs in verse 7. The Bible gives us three specific commands in verse 7. What are these commands? Well, the first one is ask. Everyone says ask. The second one is seek. Seek. What that means is that I'm coming to God with earnestness of spirit and sincerity. When I ask, I'm coming to God humbly, conscious of my need. And then the third one is knock. It suggests active, diligent pursuit of God's way. So you can see that from ask to knock, there is an increasing intensity. I ask, I go a step further to seek, and I go a step further, increasing my intensity to knock. So these commands are given to us, to believers, to approach the God who loves us, that he cares to send his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us. So please listen carefully. These three commands to approach God, who is fully and finally revealed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, is actually an expression of God's unconditional, unchanging, unfailing, and unending love for believers who are beloved by him. I tell you, folks, if you miss that, you will miss the rest of the message. You will not get much out of this message. Because these commands are an expression of God's way of telling you, I love you and I want you to come to me. Jesus is saying to his believing followers, because I love you unconditionally, I want you to approach me with the needs in your life. Jesus is saying that to his true disciples, out of love for you, your heavenly Father is inviting you to bring your burdens and lay them down at his feet. So this is so encouraging to me, and I pray that it will be encouraging to you tonight, and allow this message to make a difference in your life tonight. Please also notice that the three commands are in the present tense. But you say, what is the big deal about that? Well, please listen. What that means is this, is that the Bible is teaching us not just to ask once, but actually to keep on asking. Go on asking. The Bible is saying not just seek once, but keep on seeking. Go on seeking. The Bible is saying just not just to knock once and turn away, but keep on knocking. Go on knocking. So you see, the command stress constant asking, seeking, and knocking. Actually, the Lord Jesus himself demonstrated this in his own life. Remember, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he went to the Father asking him three times, please take this cup away. Not by my will, but by your will. He could have asked once and lay down, but he kept asking. Now someone says, is asking and seeking and knocking once not enough for Jesus to respond to me? Why do I have to keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking? Just once should be enough. Well, I'm so glad you've asked this question, because it is a good question. Please listen. Believers keep asking, seeking, knocking, because Jesus is teaching us persistence in prayer. You see, oftentimes people give up after a few half-hearted efforts and conclude that, oh, God doesn't care for me. God cannot be found. And so after a few efforts of trying to reach God, they quit. They give up. They turn their backs on God. So that's exactly why Jesus is teaching us here, never to be discouraged in prayer, but to keep on keeping on in the strength of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is saying to believers, don't quit too soon. Jesus is saying, don't give up in your efforts to seek God. Continue to ask Him. Continue to seek Him. Continue to knock. You see, friends, like human fathers, the Heavenly Father uses this means of constant asking, seeking, and knocking to teach His children courtesy, persistence, and diligence. In fact, Jesus said a lot about persistence in prayer. And I want to read one of them to you in Luke chapter 11. There the Bible tells us in verse 5, then He said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he answers and says, do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So Jesus is using this to teach us what? Persistence in prayer. Also, it should be noted out that God uses our constant asking, seeking, and knocking as a way of testing our personal faith in Him and the purity of our heart. You see, God doesn't just want to give you things without building up your faith in Jesus Christ. Your faith and my faith in Jesus is precious to God. And so whenever God blesses you with answers to prayer, He wants to do what? Build up your faith in Him so that you can have more confidence in approaching Him the next time around. So this is very important, that God wants to what? Teach us persistence in prayer and also to test our personal faith and the purity of our heart. While having out of love given believers commands encouraging them to approach God in prayer, the Lord Jesus now gets down to the business of giving them confident assurances that God will respond to them in verses 7 and 8. You see, just as 3 commands are given to believers to approach God with their needs, so also 3 corresponding confident assurances are given to them to boost the confidence of believers that God will indeed respond to them. Jesus uses the language of certainty in verses 7 to 8. First, let's look at verse 7. He says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. The Lord Jesus is here holding out the broadest, fullest promise to those who trust God enough to pray. But please understand that this is not a blank check given to believers. Jesus is not teaching that believers can get anything they ask for. Rather, His confident assurance is based on asking what is according to His will. So that is the basis why He's telling them, if you ask anything that is according to my will, I will give that to you. In fact, one of the most pervasive features of our Lord's teaching on prayer is the assurance that it will be heard. If you read John chapter 15, before Jesus went to the cross, he was teaching his disciples. In John chapter 15 verse 7, he says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." He gave the condition that what? If you abide in me, if my words abide in you, what? You are going to ask what is in line with my desire for your life. So when the conditions for prayer are met, the believer in Jesus Christ can have complete confidence that God will hear and answer that prayer. I tell you folks, when it comes to giving assurances to believers that their prayers that are in line with his will be answered, Jesus does that far better than anyone. So now the question to you and me is, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ listening to this message, do you come to Jesus with confident assurance that he will respond to your prayer and request, your prayers and requests that are in line with his will for your life? Have you learned to tell Jesus, "Jesus, do it your way"? And if you have truly learned to say to Jesus in prayer, "Jesus, I bring this request or my need to you, but please do it your way," you will not lack confident assurance that God will respond to you in his own time, in his own way, for his own glory. And I want to leave this with you, and that is, I want you to pray today and tell Jesus, "Jesus, please do it your way. Jesus, please do it your way in my life." If you tell Jesus that, he will be ready to move into your life. Now, would you please notice that the Lord Jesus proceeds to give us two classic examples from everyday life to illustrate God's readiness to hear prayers that are in line with his will. We see that in verses 9 and 10, the Bible says, "Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him, will he not give him a snake, will he?" The expected answer is no, as you just said. So drawing from the well-known practice of parents on earth, Jesus says, let me put the matter another way. He says, "No parent will deceive a child asking for bread or fish by giving him a similar looking but inedible stone or a dangerous snake." You see, the little round limestone stones on the seashore were exactly the same shape and the color of the little loaves that were made in Israel. If a son asks bread, will his father mock him by offering him a stone which looks like a bread but which is impossible to eat? If a son asks a fish, will his father give him a serpent? Will a father mock his son's hunger like that? I hope none of you will tell me that your father treated you that way, because no father has treated any of their sons that way. You see, friends, sometimes God knows we are praying for snakes. And I'm so thankful he does not give me the snakes I ask for, even though I persist in my prayers asking what I thought was good, but it was a snake. And God says, "I'm not going to give you that." And I thank God that he will never mock my prayer or yours by giving us stones or snakes instead of what we need. Now I bring my message to a conclusion. Arguing from the lesser to the greater, the Lord Jesus masterfully brings our gospel story to a climactic conclusion, emphasizing God's willingness to give what is best
to believers. He says in verse 11, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? If human parents give their children what is best for them, how much more will our Heavenly Father provide what is best for us according to his gracious and sovereign wise will? So please say with me, Jesus only gives the best. Jesus only gives the best. The Lord Jesus makes it clear that God wants to give you the best and wants to give me the best. You see, Jesus is showing us the heart of God the Father, and for that matter, his own heart. He says God is not selfish, begrudging, or stingy. He says God must not be thought of as a reluctant stranger who can be persuaded by flattery into bestowing his gifts. He says, don't think of the Heavenly Father as a malicious tyrant who takes vicious glee in the tricks he plays. God doesn't play tricks. Don't think of God as an indulgent or a lenient grandpa who provides or grants everything requested of him, that is, yielding to every wish that is brought to him. He says, rather think of God as the giver of only good gifts. He's gracious, he's generous, he's good, he's genuinely interested in giving only what is best to the believer in Jesus Christ. He's the Heavenly Father who graciously and willingly bestows good gifts in answer to prayer. So what does it mean to you and to me? Well, first of all, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, this is what it means to you. Jesus wants you to know in your heart of heart today that he's willing and ready tonight to give you what is best for you. Jesus will not play tricks with you. Jesus is genuinely and only interested in bestowing on you his good gifts, his very best. Whatever Jesus knows is best for you today, that is exactly what he's ready and willing to give you tonight. It could be more faith in him, favor, his forgiveness, financial help, family intervention, a fresh anointing, or desire to know him more, deliverance from drugs and alcohol, healing, housing, help to make a way for you where there seems to be no way, or a job. If that is what Jesus considers is best for you tonight, that is what he will give you. But the question is, do you believe Jesus will give you what is best for you? Would you come to Jesus today with confident assurance that he will give you what is best for you according to his will? Would you make the most of the opportunity Jesus is giving you today to ask, to seek, and to knock for him to give you what is best for you tonight? And if that is your desire tonight, please come forward as a believer in Jesus Christ and we will join to pray for you. But if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are not born again today, may I say to you today that Jesus has made a way for you to begin enjoying his very best in your life. How did he make that way? Well, he made it when he died on the cross for your sins. And how do you enter the life of enjoying God's very best for your life? Well, you simply acknowledge that you are a sinner and come to Jesus just as you are. Believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sin debt. Believe that Jesus was buried to put away your sins as far as the east is from the west. And believe that he rose again on the third day to bring you into a right standing with God. And that is the way you can begin to enjoy the life of God's best for your life. So, those of you who want to respond as believers, you believe that God has spoken to you, to give you the best tonight. You come here, we will pray for you. Whatever that best is, Jesus knows it. Whether it's a job, whether it's housing, whether it's a hub to make a way for you, where there seems to be no way in your life, He is willing to give that to you. But if you are not a believer, you come to me and I'll pray for you.